Morning. I don't know if you realize that one of the songs we just sang, it said, I am not worthy. And the first song we sung this morning said, Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved one. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. And he's the only worthy one. We who were sinners, we had no hope. We were cut off from God. This morning, we continue in our subject, which is we worship one God, eternal, co-equal, coexistent as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the reference is given from Matthew 28:19, 2 Corinthians 13:14, and John 14:25-26. First of all, if you're here this morning and you said, well, why should I believe in God? I'm just going to look at a couple things that God has done for us. You know, if you're a believer this morning, God has done a lot for you. And if you're still a sinner outside of God, He has done a lot for you. And this morning, or even yesterday, if you got up and look out, you can see that somebody controls this nature. You look on creation, and there was snow out there this morning and yesterday we see it coming up. I don't think no man can do that. And if you continue to think that God, in His majesty, in His glory, has created this universe so that we can live in. And when you think of it, you know, man, those who refuse to accept that creation was created by God, you would think that something is wrong with them. But that's not the case. You see, creation is of a heavenly calling. And we, our mind, human mind, are so simple that some of the heavenly calling we can't understand. We're just going to go right into the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, Genesis. This morning we went through a lot of Genesis too. But we're going to show you, right? We're going to read a couple of verses, right? In Genesis chapter 1, and reading from verse 1 to about verse 5. And it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. We'll just stop there for now. And so we see God in creation. The first thing, in the beginning, where did the beginning started? I don't know that, but God know. God ever was, God ever existed. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see these three before creation, and they were together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we come right back down to verse 3, said, and God said, let there be light. God is light within Himself. And He's just creating for you and me what we need to do. Light, or let's go back, the whole world was in darkness. The whole world. Can you imagine? I don't think we see darkness here. But if you've been to the third world country, where there is not much light, you'd see darkness. So dark sometimes, the stars above, that's the light you see. Yeah. And so God saw that the darkness was not good. And he said, let there be light. And there was light. Yeah. And he also divided the darkness from the light. The light he called the day, and the darkness he called the night. And so we see in his goodness, God create the heavens and the earth. And we just want to show you too that even in the beginning, or before the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was together. Drop down to verse 26. Yeah, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So here it is. You'd see in the Old Testament the word used, let us, are we, are they. These are some of the words showing that there was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But even although these three heads, they are one God. One God. We worship one God. And we see God in his goodness. God is merciful. God is sovereign. God in his love shows his righteousness, and his grace, his truth is over all these things. And so, if you believe in God, right there in the scripture, you can defend that. God created the heavens and the earth. And how can I? One cannot do nothing, you got to say. I can't do nothing. And yet, this world, you look out this morning, and there is the bright sunshine. The day before, it was snowing. You know, you couldn't see a thing. And yet, the day before, some places where it was raining. Three kind of weather. And yet, we stand here and say there is no God. So you can defend that, because there is one who is worthy of this love. We can defend the argument too that in what we see in the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In salvation, we can see the work that each one of them do. We see God the Father as electing, loving, and bestowing. We see the Son as suffering, redeeming, and upholding the universe. And then we see the Holy Spirit regenerating, indwelling, baptizing, energizing, and sanctifying. All these three, the Godhead, they're doing all these things, but these three persons are one person. You know, once again, I come back to the argument I just said. Our mind is just human mind. We cannot sometimes comprehend the heavenly things. This is one of the places in the scripture where it's not so clear how these three work. Maybe if you know, you tell me later. You know, but these three are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, right there in creation, we can defend it. Because this world didn't just exist. Someone created it. Right here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's not only the beginning, he's the end. We go back into Revelation, we'll do that a little later. And you see him, he's Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning in creation, and he's the ending of this earth. So right away, we can see that there is more passages that can defend the three together. You know, you go to right up there in the second verse. You see the Holy Spirit. The second verse. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right there. So that's one of the Godhead there. Right there. So you see they were together. And you said, he said, let us in our image. So right there, the three in one. God, we worship one God. That's God in creation. Let's look at God in love. God in love. You know, God in creation was very good and great because we cannot work out, do nothing to create this world. But yes, God in love. We see in John 3:16, he loved the world. But he bring it down further that God in his glory, in his love, love you, love you, love you, and love me. Let's look at it. First John. We go over to First John. First John, chapter 4. God in his love, what he has done for me and you. 1 John 4, and reading from verse 7. And it said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this, the love, not that we love, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And yes, God in his love, right here. You can go right back over to 1 John 3:2 and see the love of God. 1 John 3 and verse 1. But here was one, God in his love. He loved us with an everlasting love. He not just only loved us, you know, but he demonstrated love by sending his Son. You know, when love is a action, a moving verse, a moving word. And if you love someone, you show that love. You know, when two people get together and they love, you get down on your knees and you say, present something. Will you marry me? With a ring. So God, in his grace, in his love, he sent forth the Son. The Son, not only the Son, remember he said, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but what you do. And God know what he does. This is where God presented our secure salvation for mankind. Here was one who loved the world. And he look out and see mankind's sinfulness. Mankind going to a lost eternity. Mankind had no hope. And he realized himself, well, if I'm going to bring man closer back, I have to find a substitute to die so that we can come closer. And so God sent his Son. Yes, if you're a believer this morning, God sent his Son and he died for you and me, and we believe. The day is still out there. Grace is still available to whosoever will. Whosoever will. You see, that's one of the things that God gives all mankind. You have a will. You either accept the free gift of salvation or you refuse it. So when there comes a time when he said, well, I gave you all the time in the world to decide, and you didn't decide. You have nothing to say. You have no excuse. Yeah. God loved us. And he showed his love by sending his son to die for us. We see further on. I should read this. Let's go to Acts. In the church age, Acts. I just want to read this to show the three heads of God in working. And this is Peter in Cornelius' house, bringing the gospel to lost sinners. Acts chapter 10, and reading from verse 34. Acts 10, reading from verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And here is a key verse. Now God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And there you see the three heads of God himself in work. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working as one. Dear God, dear ones, working as one. We serve one God. And that's what we are to put at the back of our mind. One God, not three gods, not three different gods. No, one God. All three in one. That's what we want to just exercise. And by doing that, we're going to just read a couple of passages. I tell you, I was reading these passages and I couldn't keep up. But if you realize the revelation of the scripture, the true word, and you try to write down what God has done for you, it would be amazing. You know, every day you go back, there's a new thing, a new thing, a new thing. But let's just look at the attributes of God. The attributes of God. And I'm just going to give a couple of scriptures to back that up. The scripture revealed that there are certain qualities belonging to God. He did not acquire these attributes. They are what he is and ever has been and ever will be. He is the source of all of them. And so we see God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is life. Jeremiah 10:10. God is self-existent. Exodus 3:14. God is infinite. Psalms 145 and verse 3. You see, God is immutable. Psalms 102:27. And Malachi 3:6. Here's other verse you can find to back that up. And then we see God is love. 1 John 4:8. We just read that passage. And we see God is eternal. Psalms 92. We see God is holy. 1 Peter 1:16, 1 John 1:5. God is omnipresent. Psalm 139:8 and Jeremiah 2:23-24. There is more to God is omniscient. Psalms 147:4-5. And God is omnipresent. Omnipotent, I said omnipresent. This is God is omnipotent. Matthew 19:26. So these are the nature. the attributes of God. These are what God is. If you write down those, or if you want them, I have the verses here. You can come back and get that. These are some of what God is. God is beyond human understanding. God is beyond the nature that He even created. They said that the Creator is greater than what He created. So yeah, that's why we believe in God. He answers prayers. He listens to you. He fills our food basket and keep refilling it. He takes care of us. It might seem that He is not, but He does. He does, dear ones. You know, even sometimes you're going through hard times, but God cares. God cares. God cares. Yeah. Then we see God in His sovereignty. We should do that in the sovereignty of God. God is supreme over all. He yields to no power, authority, or glory. He represents perfection in every aspect of His being. He could never be surprised, defeated, or uncertain, because God does all things well. Yes, He does. He does. And this morning, again, as we look and see all these attributes of God, maybe it boggles our mind sometimes to think that, yeah, can He be that powerful? Can He be that good? Yes. Because we see God in all His glory, in all His attributes, in what He has done, what He is doing at the present for us, and what He is yet to do for us in the future. You know, there is so much scripture in the Bible that, as I said, the revelation of God that tells you about these things that, you know, you can't put them down on pen and pencil, because it will overrun, it will fill and keep filling up. But we see that. We see God too in His decree. There are certain degree of undertaking that God alone in His sovereign wisdom and power can do. One of the major things that God did, the creation and preservation of this world. And I think creation is great, but I think one of the most powerful things that God done for you and me is securing salvation for me and you. Yes, securing salvation. Because without salvation, we are nothing. We are nothing. We die and that's it. We born, we die, and that's it. If you have salvation, you live to see the Father. You live to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You live to see Him one day in the future. So as we think of God this morning, again I will say, what do you think of God? What has God done for you? He has loved me. He has loved you. He demonstrated His love by giving His Son, by sending His Son. And His Son went to the cross and died there for you. We have the opportunity this morning to say, God, I'm thankful for what You have done for me. One person has write God greatness, and it said the greatness of God cannot be fully comprehended by man, but it can at least be said that God is greater than the universe, to the extent that the Creator is greater than the things which He created. Yet His very greatness includes His ability and desire to care for the smallest detail of His creation. Not a sparrow falleth without His knowledge, and by Him every hair on your head is numbered. God's greatness God's greatest provision is providing salvation for sinners. Yes, that's how God's greatness is. And beyond, that's only one word, one man's thinking of God. And we this morning have this opportunity to worship this man, to give him thanks for what he has done for us, what he's going to do for us, and what he's presently doing for us. We're going to read another passage of scripture to see God come in. You know, Revelation. Revelation 21. This is not my word, this is the word of God. Revelation 21, and reading from verse 8, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Yes, this is what we have to look forward to, dear ones. The beginning of creation and the ending of creation. This one who is going to come back to this world to take us forever to be with him. God is bigger than anything we can imagine. He's a perfect being. He who was from the beginning. He who was even before the beginning. He who was ever in the beginning. God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And we worship this one day by day, because we believe in him. He's coming back again, dear ones. And if you're ready, if we are doing what he asks us to do, he's going to come and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." May the Lord help us to do these things. May we rely on what he said, because the time is short too. The time is short. So let us look up. Let us look up. Because our Redeemer, joy. Oh, Father and our God, we just thank you again for this privilege we have to come and worship you this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for all these explanations, the God of glory, that one who loved us, that one who created the heavens and the earth, and that one who is coming back again. We bow our knees to thee this morning and we give thee thanks. Help us, O Father, to continue to worship you and to worship you in spirit and truth. Bless our every heart here this morning. Again, we would think of those who are sick and suffering, those who are going through hard times. Father, just draw by them this morning and encourage them and grant them to a portion of blessing. We give thee thanks. in our Savior's worthy and precious name.